Tony Jaffe, Brighton Fringe 2018, here at the Old Courtroom, which has a rich programme yet again. I'm going to ask you to reveal your age, but for a very good reason.
What's your good reason first?
It'll help this interview, I promise.
85.
Okay, 85. Now I'm going to take an 8 off and ask you what you remember about being 5.
About being what?
5 years old.
When I was 5 years old, and I still don't know whether this is true, my parents said to me that, somebody came and said, what are you going to do when you grow up? And I remember, I'm told I said, I'm going to go to Oxford University and study law. Nobody in my family had studied law. My father was a doctor. Nobody had been to Oxford University. Nobody knows why I said it.
So let's jump ahead now. 15.
15, I was a very shy, callow youth who did a lot of long-distance running and was put in a class at school, unfortunately, who were average age 2 years older than me, so I was the baby, and they babied me. Not bullied me, babied me.
And now we're jumping ahead to 25.
25, I had come out of the Army National Service. I was just out of university, and I was...
Was it the one that you predicted?
It was the one I had predicted, yeah. And I had read law. Yeah. But didn't go into law. At university, I was going to go into journalism, because I was editor of the university newspaper Charwell, and that was a sort of automatic. You could go onto any newspaper as a sort of what they call it, advanced management situation, and something happened which turned me off. There was a guy, young man who wanted to go into journalism and was a reporter on the Charwell staff. It was a weekly newspaper, Charwell, and I used to get phoned at my digs by newspapers when students used to ring through stories, and they used to ring through stories. You used to be paid 5 guineas a time if you got a story in. But the newspapers, if they were doubting the story, would ring me up as the editor of Charwell and say, will you verify it? And I used to get a fee for that as well. And I got woken up at 2 a.m. and asked to go and check on a story that three guys had got a little bit drunk and were going to climb the Radcliffe Camera in the middle of Oxford, and one of them had fallen down and was seriously injured, and in fact he had he died on the way to hospital. And this young reporter or student had run the newspapers with the story before the guy's parents had even been informed, and got his money. I in fact said to the press that I couldn't verify the story, so it held it up. But I then thought to myself, and he said, why are you firing me from Charwell? And I said, because you're a student like me, and you're breaking the sort of code. And I said, as far as I'm concerned, I don't want you working on newspaper. You're a judge and jury. But then I thought to myself, if I had been a professional, I would have had to do just that. And I couldn't face it, so I went into shipping instead.
We're whispering because the show's just gone here at the Old Courtroom. Mm. And so we're at 25 and you did graduate in law, and here we are at the Old Courtroom quite a few years ago, yeah. A few years later. Okay, we're at 35 now.
35, married with Jo Shirley, who was an actress. I had never gone on the stage, and started having children, and gone on to local authority. We lived in Elstree, where the Strictly Come Dancing the studios are, and I was chairman of the council there, and I was running a company called Polyphoto at the time, which was a photographic company. At that,
45.
Oh my God, I can't remember that.
That's the correct answer as well, if you want.
Thank you.
55.
Still can't remember. I was somewhere. I got involved in things like anything from catering at football clubs to working with even older people doing sort of reminiscence therapy.
I'm assuming you didn't retire at 65.
No, I didn't retire at 65. That's the right question.
So you carried on, as which is good. So what were you doing around 65?
65, we were down in living in Dorset then, and I was doing a lot more work with older people, because my wife had gone into sort of reminiscence therapy and entertainment for older people, and I got involved in doing that. I also had started working, becoming as an amateur performer, and then worked in directing and became semi-professional directing in musicals and got sort of theatrical experience.
75,
same thing.
But didn't Glastonbury come in somewhere?
Oh, Glastonbury, yeah. Somebody once said to me, there's a place called Glastonbury, and why don't you look in there and go there? And I finished up for 15 years running the Art Cafe in Glastonbury, which was a huge marquee, and we used to fit it out beautifully and have performers or exhibitions and selling everything from smoothies to finally, in my last year, which was the hottest year at Glastonbury, a beer bar, which made a fortune.
Now we're into the decade where somebody, and I think it was probably you, made a decision to turn the old courtroom into, you know, what was probably a lecture theatre mostly. You turned it into a theatre venue.
Okay. We had been on a holiday down the Nile, so we were full of Egyptology and Tutankhamun, etc. And
we're going to walk outside because now the show has gone up and we're sounding very loud. But I'm quite excited about this because I've never heard Tony's story before. And so we're on a little... We're going out in the rain now. Thank you. And an umbrella's going up. Thank you very much. Okay, so we're back at the story of the Fringe, yeah, with a lovely rain in the background, which, you know, is Brighton Fringe too.
Yes. So we'd been up the Nile, as I said, and we got an email from the museum saying that they had found in their basement 2,500 pieces of Egyptology that they didn't know they had. And they're currently now on permanent display, actually. And they were going to give a lecture in this place called the Old Courtroom to show where it was found. So I rang the police, rang the Argus. Nobody could tell me where the Old Courtroom was. And eventually found it, came along to this lecture, found this lovely building, sat there with the lecture. And at the end, everybody left except my wife and I. And I just didn't want to leave it. I don't know, I'd fallen in love with the building. And a lady came in, who obviously was in charge, and I was talking to her and saying, is it a lovely building, blah, blah, blah. And she said yes and told me the sort of background of it being built and then left in ruins in 1934 and the lottery grant, and they'd done this restoration. And I said, well, is it used much? And she said, oh, about 10 days a year. And 5 of those days are when the university has a degree day in the dome. They come here to change their robes. And I said, well, it's wonderful, is it not for hire? And she said, yeah, but nobody knows about it. And then she said to me, are you interested? And I said, well, maybe. And she said, what, a morning, a lecture, a talk? And I said, how about a month? And I nearly had to give her the kiss of life. And she said, what do you mean a month? And I said, well, this is a super space. It's a theatre. I can make it a theatre. And she said, oh, gosh, and that's how it all started. And she said, ever done it before? And I said, no, but I have been involved in theatre, and my wife's a professional actress, and I'm sure I can do so. Mm. And the follow-up came on. I went to the Fringe office, found where that was, and I went up to the then-director, and I said, I've got a new venue. And he said, where? And I said, middle of Brighton. He said, where? And I said, opposite the dome. And he said, what? He said, how many seats? And I said, 140, and he nearly fainted. He said, ever done it before? And I said, no. He said, got a team? No. Have you got experience of lighting and stuff? No. And he said, oh, best of luck. We'll help as much as we can. And I walked out. And second Saturday in the Fringe, that first Fringe, it was a nice day. And in the afternoon, he wandered into the building. And I thought he said he wanted an apology. And I thought, what have I done wrong? And I said, well, what? He said, well, remember that time when you came in and you said you got a new venue? Yes. And we asked you if you had a team. You said no, and et cetera. He said, well, when you left, we all looked at each other and we said, poor old sod, hope he's got more money than sense. He said, and I've come to apologise, because in the first weekend we had more people through than they'd had in 7 years. Mm. And the mayor came and told me. And we've gone from strength to strength. And that's it.
And also, when you say theatre, I mean, just to be clear, there is theatre here, but there's also all kinds of other stuff that you do.
Oh, well, I always want a balanced programme. I want kids' stuff, I want music, I want as much variety as we can, because I think that's what makes it. This afternoon we've just had this performance of Grease, and the audience, a mixed audience of all kinds of people, and they loved it. And to me, that is seeing people laughing and happy and going out with a smile, or coming up and saying that's a great play, that's what makes it for me.
And so in terms of that life you just told too, you've done so many different things. You wouldn't have predicted this when you were five.
Wouldn't have predicted it when I was 45.
Yeah. So in terms of where this now goes, is the old courtroom, do you have a plan for the next few years?
I said, I was joking at the time, I'm going to go until I'm 95. I've got a team now with me, which we have. We've been working all the time, and they're marvellous. They take a lot of the stuff that I, as an old man, am not good at. Working that way, I'm sure we all want to go on and keep on planning and getting it going more and more and more.
Yeah. And as you step into the old courtroom, each year, what is it uniquely about this place that marks it out as different from all the other fringe venues?
It's just the building, the way that it was restored so beautifully, the panelling, the stonework. The ladies' loo with a Victorian fireplace. I don't even go there often, but I sometimes show people off. I get told off by always saying, we have wonderful biscuits, we have a wonderful little catering operator, and you must see the ladies' loo. And I get told off for saying it, but I can't help it.
So can I end this interview with inviting you to offer an invitation to anybody that's been at the Fringe but hasn't actually, a bit like the old Fringe director, found the building yet?
Yeah, come along, you'll fall in love with it. And we'll fall in love with you.
Tony Jeffy, thanks for talking to Fringe Review.